every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny on the spot for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all. From Radio City in New York, Philip Morris presents the Milton Berle Show with Bert Tilton, Jack Albertson, Arnold Stang, Mary Shipp, Arthur Q. Bryan, Jackson Beck, our singing star Dick Farney, the music Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we salute summer sports. The star of our show is no summer sport. Even in winter, he's known as a cheapskate. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, calling me a cheapskate? Why, at some of the biggest nightclub parties, everybody knows I'm always the first one who picks up the check and hands it to Howard Hughes. Thank you. There's more checks picked up here tonight. But I'm glad, Mr. Gallup, that they dropped that investigation. All that muck and mire, there's still a lot of muck, but where's Maya? Still a lot of muck. Are you sore because I won't let you sleep? What is it? I mean, they're still looking for Johnny.
Yes, I know. But, Burl, that's in the past. Today's papers are full of Bill Odom's round-the-world flight. He covered 20,000 miles.
I know. He must have trouble finding a bookie, too. The New York police drive, Mr. Gallup, is murder. I don't know how far they chased my bookie. All I know is that yesterday, when I phoned them, a voice at the other end said, deposit 10 rupees and go ahead, Sahib.
Oh, Burl, enough of your depressing drivel. Let's get on with our subject, summer sport.
Yes, Mr. Gallup, somehow I can't associate you with summer sports. I mean, summer's almost gone, and look at your complexion. The last time I saw a color like that was when somebody turned over a turtle. You really have a wonderful sun pail.
Oh, it's on these...
Time it.
Shall we try it again?
No, we won't.
It's on.
Why let it die again?
It's on these summer evenings that I let myself go.
Well, what happened?
Well...
Yes?
It's not the sort of thing one talks about on the air.
Oh, come on, Mr. Gallup. Tell me, what do you do?
Well, twice a week, Deems Taylor and I pick up a couple of piano teachers we know in front of Carnegie Hall, and it's yoikes away to the outdoor concert at Lewison Stadium.
Yahoo! That's living!
It is gay.
Yes, it is gay. Yes.
We all put on our Toscanini buttons, and off we go in the subway, singing snatches from Tristan and Isolde all the way to 145th Street.
Hmm. How you must hate yourself in the morning. But, Mr. Gallup, what happens at the stadium?
Well, we get seats right down in front. Deems knows a man on Downbeat.
No kidding. Big man.
Yes. During the intermission, Deems, that cut-up, he pokes a hole in the middle of his program and twirls it around on his nose.
And twirls it around on his clothes. We could go on like this for hours. We got better taste. And when the concert is over...
Oh, it's usually a mad rush. What? We have to get the girls back to Phil's battalion before midnight.
What mad reveille. Mr. Gallup, you simply must take me along on an evening like that. You really must. Sometime after I'm dead. You are a roué.
All work and no play, you know.
Yes, I know. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
A man isn't made of wood.
You jumped. And, Yes, and now, ladies and gentlemen...
The girl said they were over 30.
That was the other one before that. All right, enough with that. Gee, and now, ladies and gentlemen...
Am I not flesh and blood?
Barely. please, Mr. Gallup. And now, in tribute to the tanned, tough, and rugged summer athlete who plays hard but fair, smashing his way to victory, tonight we present our cavalcade of summer sport. Block, please. Just a fanfare. Good. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on to review the summer sports now being played the length and breadth of this land that is America. Yasha. Yeah, look. Will you take my word for it? Give up, Locke. There will never be another Rubinov. There will never be another Rubinov. I don't like the tone of how you're not laughing. Leading off tonight in our sports cavalcade, we take you to Central Park, where the finals in the Metropolitan Horseshoe Pitching Contest is now underway. There, hidden by lush greenery and bushes, we find one of America's oldest sports taking place. Take it away, Central Park.
Oh, Mabel.
Oh, Marvin.
Excuse the technical difficulty. One of our microphones was misplaced. It's a big park, you know. We'll be back for the horseshoe match. We now take you to Lake George, where the national high-diving champion, Stubby Higgins, is about to dive from the 200-foot board. Take it away, Lake George.
Thank you. We're stationed here directly beneath the 200-foot high board. Mr. Higgins has just reached the top. The lake is calm, smooth as glass. Mr. Higgins is testing the board. What a beautiful setting. There isn't a ripple on the water, smooth as glass. And there goes Mr. Higgins.
Well, what do you know? It was glass. And now, wait. I've just received word that they've switched the microphone to a different section of Central Park for the horseshoe match. Take it away, Central Park.
Mabel.
Marvin.
They must have a bicycle. I can't understand what's gone wrong with the horseshoe matches. Heaven knows how many ringers and leaners we're missing. Wait. There's the signal. They're ready for us with the horseshoe match. Take it away, Central Park.
Oh, Mabel.
Oh, Marvin.
Oh!
Thank you, Charlie Farrell and Janet Gaynor. You are grand. Mr. Gallup, may I say that the summer sport we remember best is dancing. Dancing on a moonlit terrace with that one and only girl in your arms as you sang. Dancing in the dark, till the tune ends, we're dancing in the dark. And it soon ends, we're waltzing in the wonder of why we're here. Dancing in the dark. Dancing in the dark with Cynthia. For years I danced in the dark with my Cynthia, and then one night someone snapped on the light and I saw her face. Ah! That's Cynthia! Cynthia, you showed up! No, that isn't Cynthia. I know my Cynthia. Cynthia was tall, stately, 6'4". What a picture we made dancing together, with her chin resting on the top of my head. Yes, dancing with my Cynthia in her backless evening gown. It was like holding a freshly plucked chicken. It was the little things I remember about Cynthia. The way she would snuggle up and whisper in my ear. Look, Mac, you paid 10 cents to dance. Stop horsing around. The frisky way that she'd do the rumba. From the back, you'd swear it was a Bendix. In the middle of the dance, the way she'd laugh and toss her head. Her hair would fall down her back. I'd catch it just before it hit the floor. Remember those magical nights, Cynthia? We would dance cheek to cheek. I'd rub my stubble against yours. How I pleaded with you, Cynthia, to shave, but no, you wouldn't. You were afraid the other girls at the foundry would call you a sissy. But Cynthia, the thing I remember best is the way...
way you'd cling to your partner.
You wouldn't let go until you lifted his wallet. But remember, darling, remember, as long as I get half of the take,
we will face the music together. Dancing in the dark.
No applause, no applause. The listeners will think we have a studio audience. And now... How true. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a sport that has always been popular with outdoor fans is professional wrestling. We have with us tonight none other than the heavyweight champion of Bergen County, New Jersey, Stanislaus Strangler Wintersnitz. Ladies and gentlemen, Strangler Wintersnitz.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience.
Well, Strangler, what has been responsible for your success in the wrestling arena?
Strength, leverage, and brilliant strategy.
And if these don't work?
I carry a pair of brass knuckles in my belt.
Brass knuckles? Isn't that illegal?
In West Wing, we got a little motto. If you can't grab it, wake it.
I see what you mean. Well, tell me, Strangler, haven't you a favorite hold?
Oh, yeah, I created it myself.
Yeah?
It's my own Wintersnitz double revolving butt.
Wintersnitz double revolving butt?
Yep.
Sounds terrifying. What are the details?
Well, I lie down in the center of the wing.
Yeah.
Then I whiff my legs. My opponent then grabs me by the feet and drags me around and around the wing on my stomach.
Dragged around on your stomach? Well, that can't win you many wrestling matches.
I know, but it feels good.
Strangler, what was the most exciting experience that you ever had in the ring?
It was a free-for-all in Toledo.
It was a free-for-all in Toledo?
Yep.
A free-for-all match?
Correct. 15 wrestlers in the ring. The other 14 all weeped on me. There was a big pile with me at the bottom. I was being crushed. Crushed.
Yeah, well, what did you do?
I walked around frantically.
Yeah.
And there in front of my face was a big fat leg.
A big fat leg?
Yep. I reached up and took a big, juicy bite.
Did the pile move?
You're darn tootin', it was my own way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Strangler Wintersnitz, and say hello to Babe Dietrichson's husband when you see him in Denver. And now, ladies...
Wait, stop everything.
What happened?
I want to put Johnny on the spot. Tell me, Johnny, why is Philip Morris so much better to smoke?
Here's your answer, sir. It's because the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get.
Right, Johnny. Philip Morris is the one leading cigarette with an exclusive difference in manufacture. The only leading cigarette scientifically proved far less irritating to the nose and throat. Remember, less irritation means more enjoyment. That's why the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure.
Doesn't every smoker know that?
No, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. For perfect smoking pleasure, try a pack of Philip Morris today.
Is that the finish? Okay. That was Tico Tico, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, you've got a wonderful outfit there. Where'd you get it? At Barney's? And now to continue. That Strangler got me upset. To continue our salute to Summer Sports, we now present...
Summer Sports Forum tonight. Summer Sports Forum tonight. The question, will ping-pong balls ever take the place of tapioca?
Thank you very much, Mr. Gallup. A great summer sport is camping. How about some tips on outdoor cooking?
Very well.
A listener writes in and asks, what's the best thing to put on barbecued ribs?
Unguentine.
Oh, that's nothing. Mr. Gallup, you're almost as sharp as your nose tonight. I'm only kidding. I think you have a very nice nose. I wish I had it. Must be great for opening letters. And now, let us not tarry with meaningless banter. Let's have questions from the audience. Let's begin with this gentleman here in the open-toed pants. Your question, please.
Mr. Burl, my favorite summer sport is rowing my wife across the lake.
You row your wife across the lake, and what is your question?
Well, where can I get a boat? My wife is getting waterlogged.
Thank you. Next question. This young man here, blowing up his beach ball. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Guy Lombardo.
Guy Lombardo?
Yeah, now don't confuse me with the one who's the speedboat racer.
Oh, no, I won't.
I'm a band leader.
You have a band?
Yeah, you know, the sweetest music this side of Canal Street.
Well, there's a real Guy Lombardo in his Royal Canadian.
Oh, I know. We got an agreement. As long as I won't play in Canada,
yes?
He won't play in Bensonhurst.
All right, Guy. And you have a question?
A question? I got lots of questions.
Good. What is the
question? I'm always asking questions. That's the way I learn things.
I know.
I always say, if you don't know, ask. So I ask.
Well, then ask.
Ask what?
A question.
A question. What category do you want? Science, state capitals, movie stars?
Now, look,
what's the matter? You're too smart to ask a question?
I'm the one.
What, do you know it all or something?
I didn't.
You ain't got a question. Sit down. Next.
Stop this wrangling. Now, if you have a question, ask it.
Okay. Where's my $64?
Please, now relax. Who's next? Oh, yes. This young lady in the aisle, boning a flounder. Young lady, what is your name?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question concerning summer sports?
Yeah, how can I keep my husband from spending all his time horseback riding?
He rides his own horse?
Yeah, he got no saddle, so he has to ride bareback. You ought to see the calluses.
On your husband?
On the horse. What a nag. My husband bought him from a brewery.
A brewery horse?
What trouble. He won't eat nothing unless it's got a head on it.
He rides the horse around the neighborhood?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Neighbors is always looking up and yelling, "Hey, Feeney, you sure look swell on that horse."
What's so embarrassing about that?
Half the time he ain't even on it.
Oh, I see.
He can't afford a stable, so he got the horse sleeping with us.
Mrs. Feeney, the horse sleeps in your bed?
It's awful. My husband's up until 4 a.m. getting the horse ready for bed.
It takes that long?
He takes his shoes off.
Wait a minute. You take the horse's shoes off before he gets into bed?
Sure. What do you think we are, slobs or something?
No. I think that's very neat.
The way he goes up to the Bronx on that horse, it's amazing.
What's amazing about going up to the Bronx on a horse?
By subway?
He takes the horse on the subway?
Yeah, it's really beautiful the way they take the turnstile in one leap.
Gosh, it must be something.
How he loves that horse. Once he took the horse to the movies to see the Hucksters.
Wait a minute, that's ridiculous. A horse sitting in a seat at a movie to see the Hucksters?
Why not? He was nuts about the book.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. And now, to conclude our summer sports forum, let us all join in and sing a tribute to our nation's game, baseball.
Oh, I come from Ebbets Field with a lump upon my head.
I seen the Dodgers lose a game, them bums, they should drop dead.
Oh, you Dodgers, please try and stay ahead.
'Cause the Cards are right behind you, so...
You'd better get out the ledge.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's our human South American singing star, Dick Bonney, to sing the never-be-forgotten...
Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue. All your fears are foolish fancy maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too.
Ah, Dick, you want to. What a voice. You know, when I was a kid, people kept urging me to do something with my pipes. Well, who wanted to become a plumber?
Who wanted to become a plumber? Who wanted to... Oh, no.
You know, Mr. Gallup, we discussed every summer sport, but we've completely ignored the one that's probably the most popular, the sport of kings, horse racing.
Let's continue to ignore, shall we?
No. No, we're not, because it just... You have a wonderful personality tonight, Mr. Gallup, really. I mean, really, we got it. We won't ignore it, because horse racing is very important, because it just so happens I had an experience at a track a few weeks ago. I was just leaving the house around noon, and my wife... Gosh... 12 o'clock. I'll be late for rehearsal for my radio show. Goodbye.
So long, Pop. Happy egg-laying.
Junior.
Goodbye, Milton. Have a nice rehearsal. Oh, wait. This paper dropped out of your pocket.
Give it back to me.
A racing form. Milton, you're going to the track.
Give this lady a box of Snickers.
Quiet. Look, dear. I can explain.
Now, take it slow and wait for your laugh.
This is very funny. Look, dear. I can explain everything. Look, Mr. Bellows, head of the advertising agency for my radio show, gave me $100 to take out to the racetrack and bet a horse called Dark Disaster. And I have to go.
Milton, I'm sick and tired of staying home. I'm going with you.
Hot dog, where's my binoculars? This is going to be fun.
Junior, don't get excited, because you're not going.
You're kidding.
No, Junior, you are not going.
Okay, stand back. Here it comes.
No, Junior, please.
Oh, come on,
no, Junior. Junior. Junior, please. Junior. Control yourself, please. There. Shut up. You're driving me crazy. You'll go to the track with us. Now wipe the foam off your mouth and get ready. Come on, let's go. Boy, what a crowd. Junior, will you give that jockey back his cap, please? Where's the betting window?
Attention, please. The next race is the featured Suckertonian Handicap.
Well, that's the race Doc Disaster's in. I'll go and bet Mr. Bellows' money. You wait here.
Milton, let me place the bet. I've always wanted the thrill of betting a whole $100.
Oh, okay. Here's the money. Go to the window.
Look, Pop, Doc Disaster is 40 to 1.
Gee, he'll pay Mr. Bellows $4,000.
Pardon me, friend. I can't believe my ears. Did I overhear someone say they was betting on that dog, Doc Disaster?
Yes, we're betting on
Doc. The horse ain't got a chance. Athlete's hoof.
Athlete's hoof?
They're just running him to help stamp down the track for the next race.
Well, listen, buddy, will you get lost, please? Dear, go to the window.
Milton, we can't bet a horse that has athletes.
It's for Mr. Bellows. Go to the window.
The smart money's on Flying Hammerstein. The horse can't lose.
Milton, did you hear? Flying Hammerstein.
Go to the window.
It's fixed for Hammerstein. They got the horse so doped up, he thinks he's a P-38.
Hello, will you please? Look, dear, go to the window.
Milton, we can't bet dark disaster.
But Mr. Bellows said...
The horses are approaching the post. You have 2 minutes to place your bets.
Quick, darling, please, go to the window.
Milton, I'm betting on Hammerstein. You know how he loved Oklahoma.
Please, now. Mr. Bellows will ruin me. Go to the window.
Peanuts. Hot roasted peanuts.
Hey, Pop.
Oh, okay, Junior. Peanuts, one of those bags, quick.
Ain't got any. These are phonies. I'm a tout.
Will you go away, please?
Put your load on Hammerstein.
You see, Milton?
Go to the window.
Hammerstein's a cinch. They got a battery and two guys from Westinghouse under his saddle.
Please, dear.
Milton, we can't throw away Mr. Bellow's money on dark disaster.
Go to the window.
Hammerstein can't lose.
Go to the window.
But Mr. Bellows will appreciate your changing his bet.
Go to the window.
I'm betting on Hammerstein.
Go. Give me the money. I'll make the bet.
No.
Go to the window.
The horses are at the post.
At the post. Mr. Bellows sent me here to bet dark disaster. I don't care who wins. Just bet dark disaster.
Well, all right, but Hammerstein...
Go to the window.
Well, no gambler's blood.
I'll be glad when this is over.
Hey, Pop, want to go dollar-dollar with me on Hammerstein?
Oh, quiet. Look, look, the race is starting.
The horses are ready. They're off.
Come on, Doc Disaster. Doc Disaster. Hello, dear. Did you get to the window on time?
Yes, I just had to bet on Hammerstein.
Good, come on. No, you didn't. You didn't.
At the corner, it's Doc Disaster in front by 2 lengths. Gadfly is second by a neck. Hortense is third. Little Dana is fourth. Lostan, Kranis, Lytel, and Hammerstein.
No, no.
Milton, which way are they running?
Away from Hammerstein. Come on, Hammerstein.
At the half, it's Dark Disaster in front by 6 lengths. Yeah. Gadfly, Hortense, Little Dana, Trobo, Paris, and Hammerstein.
I'm ruined. Come on, Hammerstein.
There in the stretch, here comes Disaster.
You're telling me?
Followed by Gadfly, Hortense, Little Dana, Trobo, Paris, and Hammerstein.
Oh, hurry, Hammerstein, hurry.
Go to the window. No, no, Dr. Disaster can't win.
He didn't. It's Dr. Disaster by 20 lengths, oh. Followed by... And Hammerstein.
Milton, stop staring at me.
Go to the window.
They all said Hammerstein.
Go to the window.
Just tell Mr. Bellows what happened.
Go to the window.
Milton, where are you going?
Go to the window. Well,
there's only one place for me now. A desert island. Away from Mr. Bellows. Away from everybody. Nothing but palm trees. Coconuts.
And Hammerstein.
Go to the window.
Philip Morris is the only leading cigarette scientifically proved far less irritating to the nose and throat. Remember, less irritation means more enjoyment. That's why the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure. Yes, it's true.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Made by Americans, for Americans, to suit American tastes. Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.